Some people say that you should never buy property in your personal name and you've got to buy it through a limited company. Other people say, no, actually, you should buy it in your personal name. So what should you actually do? My name is Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. It's quite an interesting discussion, this one, because people are so opinionated on it, aren't they? I see all people all the time, especially on Instagram, on their reels, never buy a limited company. And other people are very opinionated the other way. There's never like a neutral ground. It's always strong one way, really strong the other.
And I think that's just to get views. It's because that is just a pile of trash, really.
A pile of trash. You heard it. You heard it here first. Just a pile of trash, that is. I'm sure, just to prove you wrong, I'm sure I'll put something very similar to that on the thumbnail.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just for fun. Here's a question there, Anna Leeds. Someone comes over to you. They said, look, here's the thing. I'm buying a property, Anna. I'm buying a property. I need to know right now. I need just a two-word answer. Should I buy it in my personal name? Personal name could be one of your answers. Or should I buy it in a limited company? It's your other two-word answer. Two-word answer. What is the answer, Anna Leeds, right now?
It depends.
That's the end of the show, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. It does depend. No, it depends. You're sitting on the fence.
I think you've got to, because I don't think there is a right or wrong, just straight off with no information, a right or wrong answer. And I don't think you can give that advice. I mean, you can. I mean, I think you can. The truth is you can do it either. But for the best results, you can't go on. It depends. It generally depends on the circumstance.
Yeah.
And I think what you've got to do is look at the pros and cons of both and weigh up what's best for you in your personal situation.
Well, that sounds like a really good idea. So why don't we do that? Why don't we look at the pros and cons for both? And so you guys can look at your personal situation and weigh up which is better.
So shall we start with a limited company?
I think we should, because I think that's the one that most people are talking. You know, ever since 2015.
Yes.
So in 2015, George Osborne said, right, from now on, we're going to have something called Section 24. And we're designing this to screw over your everyday landlord. And then this got slowly implemented.
Well, loads of landlords sold up, didn't they?
They did.
This was quite a testing time for a lot of people.
It was. Let me, in case you don't know what Section 24 is, I'm going to very quickly explain it to you now. I'll explain it as clearly and simply as I can. So basically what they said was, if you own a property, you've got your income that comes in your rent normally. Right, so let's say your income on a property was 12 grand a year. You're charging, just to keep it nice and simple, you're charging a grand a month in rent. And then your big cost is your mortgage payment.
Yep.
Now, most of our properties, the mortgage payment is interest only.
It is.
And I think a lot of buy-to-let landlords are. So you've either got your interest only part of the mortgage or you've got your repayment part, in which case you've got a bit of both. But a lot are just interest only. So let's assume that this property that earns 12 grand a year in rent is costing you 10 grand a year in mortgage interest payments. It should be about 830 quid a month, something like that. So look, normally as a business, you'd look at that and you'd go, right, I'm bringing in 12 grand, I'm spending 10 grand, I'm making 2 grand a month profit. And then what you would do is you'd pay tax on the 2 grand a month.
Correct.
Now, if I said to you, how much tax are you going to pay on that 2 grand a month? The answer is, it depends. It depends on how much you're going to pay, because it depends on how much money you earn elsewhere and what tax rate you pay.
Yes.
But if it was, you know, we're 40% tax rayers, payers. So if we, rayers, I don't know what a rayer is.
We're rayers.
40% tax rayer, yeah, we just ray away all our tax.
I wish.
We're 40% tax payers. So if we were earning 2 grand a month as an additional income on top of our salary, we would pay 40% tax on 2 grand.
£800.
Oh, the maths. Quick maths.
Did you see my mind go?
So your eyes flickering as you thought it through. But if you didn't have a job and your only job was to be a property investor and you owned 6 properties and they all made 2 grand a month, then you wouldn't pay any tax. So it depends on your situation, right? So this is how it always worked pre-2015. Then what they said was, when Section 24 came in, actually, landlords can't claim the £10,000 mortgage interest as a tax deductible expense. In which case, you're making £12,000 profit.
You do get tax credit.
You do. So you get 20%
Yeah.
off, okay? But pretty much, right? So a big chunk of it, so let's say 10 grand of it then, you're paying tax on. So if you're a 40% taxpayer paying tax on 10 grand, that's £4,000 in tax. But how much were you earning?
2,000.
2,000. So you're paying £4,000 tax on £2,000 profit.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Like, why on earth would you do that? I mean, I actually think it makes no sense from a government point of view.
Yeah, it was crazy. And you can see why people panicked.
Well, because people were losing money.
Well, losing money. And if you did have quite a big portfolio of properties that suddenly all were losing money, you'd be in a bit of a mess.
Imagine if you owned like 20 properties and each property was making you 2 grand a month.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, that's my 40 grand a year. That's my whole income. I'm a professional landlord. But suddenly this came in. Now you're losing 2 grand a month.
Yeah.
You've gone from earning 40 grand a year to losing 40 grand a year.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah.
It is a joke.
It is really, isn't it? That's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. I think the tax system in this country, I know we've talked about it on other videos, but you can see why people are moving to Dubai.
Oh, yeah, totally. Because I feel like the rules just get crazier and crazier.
Yeah, you buy it, they tax it. You sell it, they tax it. You eat it, they tax it. You live in it, they tax it. You don't live in it, they tax it.
Yeah.
Anything you breathe... Breath tax.
I feel like eventually we'll talk about this so many times that one time we're just going to be in Dubai and be like,
yeah,
we moved. Right. We convinced ourselves.
Yeah. What made you move? Do you know what? I was just, every time I talked about the podcast tax, it just pissed me off so much. And I mean, Dubai is amazing.
It is.
If you had to go anywhere, would it be Dubai?
No.
Would it not?
No.
Where? Monaco?
I'd go to Monaco.
Dubai. Even though it's cramped. Dubai's like luxury, spacious. Like, it's quite cramped, isn't it?
Yeah, but Dubai, it gets too hot. I'd have to live half the time in Dubai and half the time somewhere else.
You know what? You could do that, though.
Yeah.
You just couldn't be here.
Yeah. So I could. Maybe I would go to Dubai, but then just... No.
3 months of the summer, you go somewhere else.
But then Monaco's really close as well.
Yeah,
I think
who cares? You're going back 12 days a year or something, 13 days a year. Being close, what's that matter?
No, because family could come and visit me.
True.
Smart thinking, eh?
Well, you're thinking about them. Not, I suppose, but very unselfish of you.
Yeah. Well, I can't help being a legend.
So anyway, so what people realise is, though, hold on a second, Section 24 doesn't apply to limited companies. So what we're going to do instead, we're going to go and buy our properties through limited companies, and that's why there's a big push on limited companies, which is great. I suppose another small advantage of owning it in a limited company as well, I mean... debatable advantages. So, you know,
I don't quite know the ins and outs, but it can help with inheritance tax. So you can put them on a shareholder.
That's a bit more difficult than it sounds, though, in reality.
Yeah,
I think
that sounds nice as a little line statement that you can do it, but I don't think it's quite as simple as that, because I think inheritance tax as well taxes you left, right, and centre with most things you do.
Yeah. Another thing that you could do, if you are a high rate taxpayer, I think this is better, to be fair, for high-rate taxpayers. Let's say you're a high-rate taxpayer. Corporation tax rates are 25%.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in your... So when that company makes profits, you'll be getting taxed at 25%.
Rather than if you're... For income tax, obviously, if you're in the high-rate income taxpayer, it's 40%.
Yeah.
So that's where it can be very good.
But it depends on what you want to do with the money.
Yes.
If you're planning on reinvesting it in property...
Oh, then you'd definitely buy in a limited company in that case.
Because then you'd pay 25% tax and you're going to invest the rest anyway. You'll do it all through the company. Whereas if you want to use the money to live on, if it's in a company, you've got to pay corporation tax.
But then you've got to pay tax to... If you want to take it as a wage anyway from your company.
You'd pay the same tax anyway.
Yeah.
Plus the corporation tax and anything. So... Yeah, it depends on what you want to do, right? So it depends a little bit on your personal, so which is kind of what we've been, the point of this, is weighing up what you want to do.
So if you, that is very good though. I think that's a good way to explain it. So if you're buying to reinvest and that's like, but you're not taking a wage and you're not, it's for reinvestment purposes, then a limited company, especially if you're in a higher tax.
You say that, but there's a massive pro for personal name I'm going to get to in a minute.
Oh, go on then.
All
tell
right.
me.
Before I do though, another little pro, before we get to the massive curveball that's going to make you go, because at the moment you're looking at it and you're like, obviously buying a limited company, save the government, ha ha, screw them, right? But there's a big advantage of owning your personal name. But one more little advantage for owning it in a company is that if you sell it, you can sell the company, not the property. Now, that doesn't save you any money. But just like Anna was considerate earlier on about people coming to visit her in Dubai, it means whoever buys the property from you can save money on stamp duty. So a classic example, one of the most famous examples of this was Tony Blair, former Labour Prime Minister. What are your thoughts on politicians using tax loop? Because obviously when we do it, we're like bragging about it on the podcast. What are your thoughts? For some reason, it feels a bit wrong. The government...
And I think it does, because they're the ones... Basically, people find loopholes because laws come in, and then people find loopholes to get around the laws. Because, like you say, when they brought in Section 22, it was just ridiculous. Loads of landlords had to sell up, so they found buying limited companies, save tax. But when it's the person bringing in the law...
That uses the loophole.
And then uses the loophole. That just seems like, well, did he actually want to bring the law in then? Why would he bring the law in?
A bit like when Boris Johnson said you weren't allowed to mix up with people unless you had a child under 12 months. And it's like, but you've got a child under 12 months?
So then you think, do they bring in the laws knowing they can avoid them?
Mm.
And they think, oh, but we know our way around it. Or did they never agree with the law in the first place but just were forced to bring it in? That's what my logic behind it, I think.
I think that they brought the law in knowing that they knew the loophole so they could avoid the law.
See, and that's why then everyone frowns upon them for doing it, because the people
It's perfectly legal but frowned upon. Yeah. Anyway, let me tell you what he did then. So basically, he bought a house in Marylebone in London.
Was it getting a bit too high right there?
You're getting a bit, I just thought, you know, we're going to
calm me down.
Just think of the nice big house that he bought, right?
Okay.
£6.5 million, Marylebone.
Oh, nice.
You've always wanted to live in Marylebone.
I have. I bet it was a nice big townhouse, wasn't it?
I bet it was. £6.5 million, lovely house. Right.
You go, Tony Blair, you go.
Well done, well done. You avoid that tax. Now, if he'd bought the house, he'd have paid a lot of money on stamp duty, obviously, although less back then than it would be now, I'm sure. He bought the company that owned the house, not the house. And what that meant was he saved £312,000 in stamp duty. So if you've got a property that you own in a company, you sell the company, you're helping them out potentially quite a lot. I mean, that's the price of another house on top, right? Which means that maybe you can negotiate a slightly higher amount.
Yeah.
Because it's like, look, you're going to save all this money on stamp duty because I own it in a company. That's why you're paying a little bit more. Potentially.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a small potential pro.
Yeah.
But the main pro, in my eyes, is Section 24. That's the main point for buying a company.
Do you think it's good buying in a company if you do a lot of joint ventures?
Well, as in, because you're buying it with someone else. Yeah, I think that would make sense as well. If you're buying,
would you ever recommend? Would you ever recommend two people, not obviously a couple?
No, I'd do it in a
two personal names, or would you always in that case?
I would do it in a company always in that case. Yeah. So that is again. It comes back
that you've got to take that into consideration, haven't you? Who's actually buying the property? Because a couple, obviously, buying your personal names. But if you're joint venturing with people, then that's what I was thinking. But you'd always then put them in limited companies, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. Now, there's a couple of small benefits for buying your personal name, and then we'll get on to the big, massive one. So a small benefit is it's anonymous. So if you buy in your personal name, like a lot of our properties we own in our personal name, it means that there's no public record of it. Unless you knew the address and bought the title deed, there's no way of just going, what does Russell Leeds own?
Now, you'd have to take a good guess and then spend lots of money trying to find it.
Now, I'm not particularly bothered by that. I'm not particularly trying to be secretive, but I know some people are.
And I get it. I think if you were a celebrity buying properties and stuff, I think you would.
Yeah, would you want everyone to know where you're... property portfolio was and all that they're my tenants and they're, you know, especially if you're a disliked celebrity.
Yeah.
Like imagine if I became a celebrity and everyone hates me and then all of a sudden it would be like, oh, you're one of Russell Leeds' tenants. Oh, yeah. I'm going to burn it down.
And it sounds ridiculous because you think nobody would ever do that.
Oh, but people would.
But people would.
Yeah.
But I'm always baffled by what people are prepared to do. But yeah. And I prefer having them in our personal name and keeping them private. But, and I get that. But I mean, that's a small
Yeah. The bigger one, we touched on this earlier, but the refinancing. So if you own property, if you own a property, so let's say you had a property that's worth 200 grand, it went up to 400 grand and you were like, you know what, I want to release some of that equity. I don't want to sell it because I'll pay tax on it. Capital gains tax because I own it in my personal name. What I'll do instead is I'll refinance it, pull the money out. You can now use that money for anything you want. You could use it to go shopping. You could use
Woohoo!
It. There you go. That's why you're excited. Anna's like, personal name all the way. Whereas if you owned it in a company, when you refinanced it, the money would go not to you, but it would go to the company. Which meant that you could still use it to buy properties and stuff, all tax-free still. But if you wanted to get your hands on it, you'd have to pay it to yourself.
What about company holiday?
What do you mean? You mean a business trip?
Yeah.
We can't call it a company holiday. You can't say, what about a company holiday? You mean, yeah, a board meeting abroad. Yeah, I know what you mean. You could use it for that, flipping it. All right, so let's get on to...
I was thinking of holidays then.
All right, so this is the big one now, the big pro for buying in your personal name. Now, if you are getting a property in your personal name and a mortgage in your personal name, you'll pay less interest than you would if you're buying it through a limited company.
Yes.
Now, right now, you're looking at about 1% less in interest. So you're looking at somewhere about 4% at the moment for buying in your personal name.
Yeah.
And you're looking at about 5% if you're buying it in a limited company. So let's do the math. If you were buying a property and getting a £200,000 mortgage, at 4%, that'd be about £665 a month.
Genius maths there.
I've already worked it out before. It's not just the quick maths in my head. I've thought this through. If you're getting the same £200,000 mortgage, but in a limited company, that would be at about 5%, which, hold on, let me just think, would be £834 a month.
Correct.
Now, that's £169 a month. You're saving.
Yeah.
So that's £2,000 over the year, which is massive. Because that's money that you're paying out straight away. So you just literally, so if you, in that example that we gave earlier, where you were making £2,000 a month, if you had it in your personal name, you'd be making £4,000 a month. So suddenly it kind of levels the playing field.
Yeah.
Both ways. It's like, oh, okay, so you've got pros for one, pros for the other. So what I would actually recommend you doing is when you find a property, working out all the figures. So going through and going, right, what are all my bills going to be? How much money am I actually going to make of this? How much are you going to rent it for? And then work out two scenarios. One, with getting it in your personal name.
Yep.
And I'll probably speak to a broker as well and ask them and say, look, if I get this in my personal name, what kind of rates am I looking at?
Yeah.
And then how about if I work for a limited company? So comparing the two and just working it out. You know your tax situation. You know what you're earning right now. Add this on top and go, okay, well which is better? And the truth is, I've done this with lots of people, and it really does depend.
Yeah, which is why when we started the off and we said people say with such certainty, you're an idiot if you don't buy in a limited company, or you're an idiot if you don't buy in your personal, is, like I said at the start, just absolute rubbish, isn't it?
Mm.
That's the truth of it. Being so adamant that one way is the right way for everyone, he's just a load of trash.
And I know people that have literally like sold the property to themselves and had to pay stamp duty again and all this sort of stuff. And you're like, you know what? The rules could change.
Yeah.
The rules, they could be, we don't know what the government are going to do. No one knows. But it could be like in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, they go, you know, actually, we're going to abolish Section 24.
Yeah, because they do, don't they? They just suddenly go,
yeah. Or actually, we're going to tweak Section 24 so it actually does apply to companies.
Yeah. And then suddenly... it would change
all
everything.
All that work and effort. Yeah. It's like people have been buying their personal name for years and years and years. It's only quite a recent thing based on this one rule that very easily could tweak, could change. So I wouldn't be too hung up and worried about it. There are ways. If you own the property, we obviously own some properties together in our personal names.
Yeah.
It's quite easy, not quite easy, but there are ways that we could do, because we own it together, we could then transfer that to an LLP. So we could say, look, although in our personal names, this is really a partnership.
Yeah.
We own this together. We want to change it to an LLP because this is a purely business property. And then once you've got it as an LLP, you can then change it to a limited company. So if you did the maths and you were like, I'm losing money on this property, I have to get it changed over and I own it together with someone. There are things that you can do. I'd speak to a solicitor, explain what you want to do.
Yeah.
So that's possible. But the real key is to not worry too much about personal name, limited company. It's just to make sure you're finding damn good property deals.
Yeah. Because if you are, both ways will work really, won't they?
I mean, yes,
there could be one way it's like you would be slightly better off doing it this way. But if you've got a really good property deal, do either really.
No. The landlords that are losing are the landlords that are like, that we're kind of losing anyway.
Yeah.
I'm making £200 a month on my buy-to-let.
Yeah. And I mean, buy-to-lets have now...
That sucks anyway.
...have been... People with buy-to-lets now have been struggling for years, haven't they?
Yeah.
Like, that's the big question. I see that all over Facebook too. A buy-to-let's dead, really. Can you actually really just buy a property? That's a big question.
In some ways, the best buy-to-lets are if you don't have a mortgage. Because then you're getting a decent yield.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, the problem is interest rates have gone up, which is why, I suppose it's why it's thrust into the limelight right now, because the interest rates have gone up. It's affecting people even more.
Yeah.
But I think interest rates are going to come down again. The reason I think that, if you speak to a broker and you say, oh, I want to fix for 2 years or I want to fix for 5 years, give me a quote for both. The 2 years is more expensive per month than the 5 year. So why is that? That's because they know, or at least the plan is, that they're going to come down. So I do think they're coming down. Interest rates are dropping at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
So I do think it's going to come down. So it will affect you even less. But yeah, while it is important, you want to get this right, the real, real key is to find great deals. I mean, that's what we teach at the Property Investors Crash Course. You can come along, you can learn, spend one day, and for £1, you can learn how to find the sort of deals that are giving you 20% return on investment. What sort of deals would you be looking for? How would you rent them out? If we're saying buy-to-let is dead, what sort of things are they going to learn on the Crash Course?
Well, you could, lots of different things, but HMO, SA. I mean, my personal favourite, and if you watch this podcast, you'll be very aware, I'm a big fan of SA. I think... HMOs are great, but for me, it's SAs all the way.
Service accommodation. Yeah. Basically, taking a normal house, renting it out like a hotel.
Yeah.
On a nightly rate, room by room. I mean, most of our service accommodation properties, you're looking at about, rather than like a buy-to-let might make you £200 profit, you're talking like £2,000 profit.
Yeah. And obviously, the scope for, we bought Patricia on a few weeks ago. She runs party houses. She earns thousands of pounds profit a month.
Mm.
I think it's so popular. I also love, I think it's they're easier to run than HMOs. They're easier clientele to deal with.
I do really like HMOs as well, though.
I think you're more of a HMO supporter.
It's interesting. I think it's HMOs. I just think the market's so easy to beat.
Yes.
If you go in spare room, you guys should do this, right? Go in spare room, have a look in an area, have a look at what's available. And look at the competition. Look what people are posting on spare room. It's just like, it's terrible. Like I saw one on someone posted on their page. I think the property was, you sent it to me actually.
Yeah, I did. The property was for sale. It was actually, I won't put the address out, but it was actually just found on Rightmove, which makes it even funnier. That they thought this was acceptable to put on to sell a property.
Yeah, and what would describe it?
So, I just thought, look, this could make a good investment property. And then as I was going through, I was like, there's no beds made. That's a bit weird. And then I very quickly realised this is obviously student living HMO.
But it was a state.
There was stuff everywhere.
Clothes all piled up in the corners.
Literally, the beds... weren't even, I think they must have gone in, the students must have been in there, and they were like, out of bed now. In one of the photos, you can see the student's hand on his mobile phone next to
not even bothering to move the person.
But then the funniest, don't spoil the story.
Go on, you go.
Was if you zoom in on one of the photos, one of them is actually still in bed.
Yeah.
A girl on her phone, like leaning over on the, and the, they've taken a photo and uploaded it to Rightmove. I mean, surely that's an invasion of privacy. Surely you're not allowed go into a room, take a photo of someone in bed and upload it to Rightmove.
It's like they've gone in and they're like, right, we need to take photos. Are you planning on getting up? Oh, no. All right, we'll just take the photos anyway.
Yeah.
You'd at least move the rubbish and everything. It was crazy.
Crop them out. Crop the photo. But she's lying in bed on her phone. And I just thought... wow. But I think that sums up HMOs. Like, I think they can be difficult. I can imagine that girl was just like, no, I'm not getting out of bed.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not a million miles different to what people put on Spare Room. It's like they're advertising the rooms, and you're like, I saw one. Actually, the room was quite nice, but then they had like a wardrobe in the corner, and they just whacked a duvet on top of it, but it was all hanging off to the side. Take a photo anyway. Like, you'd move it. Yeah. You'd declutter, you'd tidy, you'd...
And the problem is, I think with HMOs for me, even though obviously I know they're really good, I am a bit of a clean freak. And I feel like...
You don't have to live there.
I know, but I also have to see photos of my properties. And I feel like I would want to keep them to a really high standard.
Do you know what, though?
Because they're a property I own.
You can do. You just get good, high-quality HMOs. If you're getting cheap, quality HMOs, you'll get cheap, quality tenants. If you're putting photos on with someone in bed and plates on the floor and everything, that's the sort of tenant you'll attract. You get a good quality one with a nice ensuite, little kitchenette, and you're laughing.
Yeah, true. And I think, obviously, we're kind of talking about one clientele, but like if you get great places to have HMOs by hospitals, if you get a bunch of nurses going, you're laughing.
Yeah, and you're renting out room by room, you're making £500 per room.
What is more profitable then, would you say? Not taking in any of the, HMOs are a bit harder to, just pure profit. Do you think HMOs make more money?
I'm going to give it an Anna Leeds answer. It depends. And on that bombshell, I think it's time to end. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you found that useful. Hope when you buy your next property, it will give you a bit more clarity whether you should buy it in your personal name or in a limited company. I've been Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.